Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the Old Testament book of Numbers. Now to Pastor Chris.
We're in Numbers 26 on Through the Word, and today, what does it take to have one in a million faith? In a generation that is marked by half-hearted belief and more grumbling than gratitude, how can you be that one believer who lives wholehearted for God? Here in Numbers, we have two of them, and with more than 2 million Israelites, they truly are one in a million. But before we get to the million, we've got some counting to do, a lot of counting. Verse 1. After the plague, the Lord said to Moses and Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, "Take a census of the whole Israelite community by families, all those 20 years old or more, who are able to serve in the army of Israel." So Moses is taking another census. And you know what that means? That's right, 65 verses of big numbers and funny names. To give you a sense of this chapter, let's peek in at verse 5. The descendants of Reuben, the firstborn son of Israel, were through Hanak, the Hanakite clan, through Palu, the Paluite clan, through Hezron, the Hezronite clan, through Carmi, the Carmite clan. These were the clans of Reuben. Those numbered were 43,730. Now skip down to verse 12. The descendants of Simeon, by their clans, were through Nemuel, the Nemuelite clan, through Jamin, the Jaminite clan, through Jachin, the Jachinite clan, through Zerah, the Zerahite clan, through Shaul, the Shaulite clan. These were the clans of Simeon. Those numbered were 22,200. All right, two tribes down, 10 to go. Lots more names, lots more numbers. I think the one person who would truly appreciate this chapter is the count. You know, Sesame Street. One Simeonite. Two Simeonites. He's one of my childhood heroes, really. I was a little math geek, after all. But for those of you who don't love counting as a hobby, chapter 26 is a little slow. So why all the counting and names? What's the story? First off, the Bible is not a novel. It was never intended to be all page-turners. Some of it is, but not this chapter. What the Bible is the Word of God. And the content is a lot of things. The Bible is history. It is poetry. It's worship, praise, laments, prophecies, laws, proverbs, and here, historical record. Historical records are generally not very exciting, but I have come to realize that there is a difference between interesting and important. Now, as a historical record, the Bible is not a record of all history. It's a record of God's story and God's plan to redeem the world. God's plan centers around Israel, so we get a lot of stories about this one people. And here in Numbers 26, we get an accounting, a historical record of who the Israelites are at this critical point in their history. It is numbers, a sense of size, and names, a sense of families, clans, of a people who belong to God. They are a real people, and along with the stories, the numbers and names here give us a fuller picture of who they were. Now, you may have noticed that this is the second of two censuses. Sensei, sensis. Anyway, they counted twice. Think back to chapter 1. Moses counted 603,550 men age 20 or higher. That means about 2 to 3 million total. Now, this one is a repeat with one big difference, 40 years. Make that two big differences. Every single one of those 603,550 men died in the desert. Well, 603,547. There are exactly three left. Everyone in this count has spent their entire adult life in the desert, following God and waiting for the faithless generation to get out of the way. It's a little harsh, but it's true. So let's see how some of the numbers changed over the 40 years in the desert. In verse 7, the tribe of Reuben went down from 46,000 to 43. In verse 14, Simeon went way down from 59,000 to 22. The theory is that Simeon lost a lot of men in the plague in the last chapter. The leader was a Simeonite. In verse 18, Gad is down from 45 to 40,000. Judah is up just a little to 76,000. Issachar is up from 54 to 64. Zebulun is up a few from 57 to 60. Manasseh is way up from 32 to 52,000. Ephraim is also up from 32 to 40. Go Joseph's kids. Benjamin is up to 45. Dan is about even at 64. Asher is up to 53. Naphtali is down to 45,000. But don't feel bad for Naphtali, because in verse 48, one of their families is the Guni clan, and Goonies never say die. And that brings us to the grand total in verse 51. The total number of the men of Israel was 601,730. 40 years gone by, and the total number has dropped by just 1820, about 0.3%. I told you I like math. Now, I do want you to read this chapter. Don't worry about trying to pronounce every name right or get every number. But Moses did, and with good reason. Verse 52, the Lord said to Moses, the land is to be allotted to them as an inheritance based on the number of names. To a larger group, give a larger inheritance, and to a smaller group, a smaller one. Each is to receive its inheritance according to the number of those listed. Aha! Now we see why the numbers are so important. The promised land will be divided according to these numbers. And in verse 55, what each group inherits will be according to the names for its ancestral tribe. Now this is huge. The entire map of the nation is to be drawn according to what is recorded in this chapter, numbers and names. Boring to us maybe, but tremendously important to the generations that would inherit the land. And for you and I, a lesson. We have an inheritance. Romans 8, the Spirit-filled life, our promised land. In Romans 8, the Spirit testifies that we are God's children. And if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Heirs means that we have an inheritance. In this life, we have no lasting city. We are wanderers, and we long for a city with foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And in that city, our inheritance is set. It is reserved. It's not just a bunch of names and numbers. It's personal, and it's real. Your name matters. The number of your family matters, because you have a land, an inheritance that lasts. Now, how do you get there? The same way that our final two heroes in chapter 26 did, faith and perseverance. The chapter ends with a stark reminder about the number that was counted back in chapter 1, verse 65. For the Lord had told those Israelites they would surely die in the wilderness, and not one of them was left except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. There's two left, plus Moses, but he won't make it in. Just two will enter. Caleb and Joshua make it. They persevered. They outlasted an entire generation of grumblers and complainers. Imagine that. When they go in, they are the only two men over 60, and they lead the charge. They're heroes, strong in faith, thriving with life, full of strength and courage. Men of God. I want to know how that's done. Seriously, I want to know how to grow old well. How did they do it? Well, it was faith. Wholehearted, eyes fixed on God, forget the giant's strength, forget my own weakness, God will do everything he promised, faith. Two in a couple million, two that would move mountains. In 1872, a British revivalist named Henry Varley spoke with a new friend, a young American evangelist named D.L. Moody. Moody, the world has yet to see what God will do with a man fully consecrated to him. The words seemed to be engraved in Moody's heart, and he determined, by God's grace, well, I will be that man. D.L. Moody was a shoe salesman. The rest of Moody's story is one of the most impacting lives the world has ever seen. What does it take to have one in a million faith? And what happens when you do?
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.